Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is episode 29. Today is Friday, December 14th, 2007. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 29, How's Your Memory? The message, How's Your Memory, was originally recorded July 4th, 1986. I am your host, Janine, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. The song you just heard was from Deep Purple called Hush. It's a perfect song for Pastor Paul's message, How's Your Memory? Because like the song, we can suffer from a soul that is fainting, and in this case, it's a Love Jones, needing someone who is not there. In this message, Pastor Paul gives us the answer. When our soul is fainting from despair, we must remember the Lord. If you'd like to make an audio comment, that number is 1-715-808-0318. Or you can send me an email, your comments, questions, or suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. Or you can just go to our website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, or do a search, Pastor Paul's Mission. Go to the top of the homepage and you'll see links to the blog and the podcast. Be sure to go to the blog and download the podcast there, as well as subscribe. And you can also see the show notes, which will be posted there. So without further ado, Pastor Paul's message, How's Your Memory? Until next Friday, have a great week and remember the Lord.
Is entitled, How's Your Memory? Before we enter into Jonah 2 and 7, which says, When my soul fainteth within me, then I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. So before we start, let's go to Psalm 77 and 3, where David remembered the Lord also. I remembered the Lord and was troubled. I remember the Lord and was troubled. Sometimes remembering the Lord is painful. Sometimes remembering the Lord is painful to our conscience because it condemns us. I think also it is impossible to remember him in all his goodness when, like Jonah or David, we have run away from our particular ministries, our particular calling. I know there's a lot out there that are listening to me that somewhere in their life they have left what God has called them to do. They don't have any peace in their life. And it's painful for them to remember the Lord. But then again, I believe that in all the Christians' lives, in all believers, that sometimes it gets to be so that we don't understand what God is telling us, unintelligible to us. They get lost in the profound meditation, and nothing has left them but a desponding sigh. Have you ever felt that way in your walk, where you kind of get lost and in your ministry, you're listening on the radio? You listening here tonight? But then Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings. That's when we start to pray in the Spirit, when you don't understand. It says we know not how we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us. So we need to pray in the Spirit. And then again in Psalm 77, let's look at verse 4. I am so troubled I cannot speak. Have you ever been so troubled that you couldn't speak? Sometimes when I look at the people down here in the mission, I get so troubled that I can't hardly even speak. He adds that he was so cut down and lifeless that he could not speak. And I see that a lot, where people are cut down and are so low that they can't speak. I've even experienced that myself, even young in my young life, as a probably 12 or 13 years old. A woman came in this week, she had four children, actually five, but she forgot about one of them, said she had four, there's actually five there. And her mother, which was the grandmother of these children, did all the talking. She was 70 years old. She says, Pastor, I've come up here to take my children back. My daughter here is having a nervous fit, is despondent, and the daughter just sitting there. And all of these children are there, and I'm looking at all of this. And they had one boy there, probably was 9 years old, and then all the way down. But I noticed that the grandmother did all of the talking. Well, I said, how are you going to get back? She says, I'm going to Mississippi and I need money. I have no money for gas. Well, I said, sorry to say, this ministry has no money, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $10, and then you go out, and I'll write you a letter, and I'll send you out to the other churches. And I'm sure that after they find out that I gave you $10, they'll give you $10 too. That's the way it goes, isn't it? Provoke one another to good works. She says, well, you know, I think that might work. And still, the daughter was just sitting there, staring ahead. So I started to challenge the mother and look at the mother real close. And I'd flash my eyes over the daughter, and I'd flash over to the grandma, and flash to the daughter, and flash back and forth until I got her attention. And I said, let me go in my office and I'll write out a check and a letter and I'll be back. So I came back out and I said, well, I wrote the check for $20. And of course, then she knew it was $10. And I said, go out and provoke folks with this check. And I looked at this woman and I thought, now the mother. And I thought, oh, in great troubles, the spirit fails. And it fails so that it shows up on the exterior members of the body and flows back into its fountain, source. And so the limbs stand motionless, and I'd seen this when I minister in prisons and also in the psych wards. And the whole body trembles, and the eyes remain fixed, and the tongue forgets its office, and the people become like stone. And I thought, oh my God, what a work we have to do. What God has called us to do here on the north side, dealing with, towards the end of the month, coming in to eat in here, some 700 and 800 people. Little kids, even, that are sitting like stone. You see, I know this, that the antidote for all of this is to see someone else's calamities. To see if it were be another calamity, Jane. See someone else in trouble. See someone that's in trouble and yet stands and trusts in the Lord. Having done all, stand. And that's what you have to do, preacher, when you're in your ministry and you're going through your things. Be that example, and having done all, stand. But she was so troubled she could not even speak. She was so down, she was so lifeless. Yet her whole body was in a massive tremble. Her grief was so violent it could find no vent. It actually was strangling her. She needed somebody to speak a word of deliverance to her. Someone to say, hey. So I had to give the attention over to her. And I says, well, I understand that you have given your mother here, the grandmother of these children, a 1977 Ford. Now, how many miles per gallon does this car? And I had to shake her into reality. How many miles would a big car like that get? Is it a big car, a little car, medium-sized car? It's a big car, isn't it? Yeah, it's a big car. How many miles do you suppose that it gets? I bet it gets better on the road than it does in town, doesn't it? So I got her brain working. She started adding it up, and I said, well, it looks to me like it's going to cost about $150 to get down there for gas. And I want you to get all these kids ready, bring them down here on a Monday morning. Don't go out when all these drunken nuts are out on the road. Wait till Monday morning. Wait till they're all so drunk and out of it that they're in the hospital, and then go. And then some other things, and a little humor, and a little deliverance, a little truth, a little talking, a little shouting, and pretty soon she started to come around. Oh. And I said to her, listen, let no appearing impossibilities, and someone had robbed her house and taken everything out of the house. I said, at this particular time, dear, let no appearing, and I said appearing twice, impossibilities make you question God's accomplishment of any of his gracious words. Our God is able. Are you hearing this? And preacher, if you're out there and you started to work, God is going to help you finish it. And listening, you listening out there, don't let your depression of spirit lead you to the valley of despair. And there's a lot of that going on right now. People are in the valley of despair, and I know from the phone calls that I get. And they need to see someone, glory to God, stand in a calamity. Then Psalm 78 and 35 says, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God, and his arm is not shortened, by the way, comes out of that high place. And they remembered that God was their rock, their redeemer, their high God. See, sometimes it takes great, hard, sharp strokes to wake up the sleepy memories. And I think that's what God is doing right now. Reflection followed, in this verse, infliction. A lot of times we don't reflect on God until we are inflicted. And then we start to seek out God. Because here in this verse, he alone had been their shelter and their fountain of supply and their foundation and their unchangeable friend. And the same is true for us. But see, sometimes we have to get in a hard place before we are shook, and we are shook in our memories, and we look back and we say, God has helped me before. God has been my shelter. God has been my fountain of supply. He has always been my foundation. He has always been the unchangeable friend. I'm the one that changed. So that's where many are today. And it says in the end, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And everything that will be shaken will be shaken. God is the shaker, you are the shaky. You hearing this? And so God is getting our attention right now, and oh, what a need there is right now for a ministry like ours down here on the north side. This afternoon I was starting to think about one other person, Jonah, who remembered the Lord in the belly of a fish. You ever feel like you were in the belly of a fish? Jonah 2 and 7 says like this, when my soul fainteth within me, then I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Let me say something here. I believe that any preacher that has had no experience of trials and tribulations or any persecutions whatsoever, I'm afraid then we are with a very shallow preacher. He's never had a whale of a time. Are you hearing this? I believe that I have been in the belly of a whale for a good long time, and many times, but I have a whale of an experience to share with you. That my God is able, that even though I'm down under and in the deep, and the same is happening all over, people are despondent, people are in despair. But I believe this experience of the saints is the treasure of the church. They can share with people. And I believe every child of God who has tried and proved the promises of God is a true witness, is a walking, talking epistle known and read of all men, that has a proven testimony to share. And he can be of help to others. And all the past saints who were men, it says, of like passions, it tells us in the Bible. Hasn't this helped us when we go ahead and read about them, how God has delivered them? I mean, if they would have been any different, we could never have been instructed by what they had suffered. And so, preacher, as we go on and we go through the trials and the tribulations and all the different things that are involved in ministering in the end time, and especially in a ghetto situation, which, let's face it, every area in the United States, it's either going to be rich or poor. There isn't going to be any middlemen pretty soon. There's going to be a ghetto situation all over this land and all over the world. And it says in the end that men's hearts will fail. Well, maybe then that we go through this early, we'll have something to share with folks. But if other people had not suffered these things, if past saints hadn't, and saints even now, in these last few years hadn't suffered any of these things, we might say, yeah, but they had more power, but they had more help. No, they endured the same trials and pleaded the same promises before the same God. The same God that is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that an encouragement? Oh, if you're in a calamitous state, I don't even know if there's such a word, but let's just use it anyway. If you are sitting and you're in a very calamitous state, why don't you share your calamity with somebody? That's a good way to get rid of it anyway. Why not? Why not share it and allow God to deliver you while you're sharing it? But anyway, if the men in the Bible would have been any different, or if God would have been changeable, or if the promises were changed, all the ancient experiences would be but an idle tale to us. But no, there are people going through the very same things right now. No, when those things happened in the Bible, they happened for us. We then can conclude that the same thing will happen with us. We read that God's people were delivered, and we also can believe that we will be delivered. Why not? Why do you think they're in there? And so tonight we will look at Jonah and invite you to make its lessons a practical guide to yourselves. First, we use the text on the child of God, and secondly, for the sinner awakened and aroused. The text is for those who have a fear of the Lord, for such was Jonah. Because with all of his mistakes, he was a man of God. And even though that he ran from God, he never left him. God, it says, brought him back and he used him. And so I think we first ought to talk about Jonah's condition. He certainly was in a terrible condition, wasn't he? Wouldn't you call that a terrible condition, being in the belly of a stinking fish? Think of it, sitting in a stinking fish. What would you be thinking about if you were down there in the belly of that fish? Now, when you think of it, you think, oh, he had a lot of room, and he had a stool in there, and he had a light. No, he didn't have a lot of room in there. He was right up next to some kidneys or something, whatever the fish has in there. Huh? He might have a little room where he could just sort of sit all scrunched up. Could you imagine yourself in such a situation? Well, I can. Slime covering your whole body, you think you got it tough? Cold and dark and all alone. Think of it, all alone. You know, you can be in a crowded room and be all alone. How many know that? I remember when I was about 13 years old. 12, maybe, 13. And I was desperately in love with my English teacher. She didn't even know I existed. But I went to a party and the teacher was there. She didn't pay no attention to me. Oh, how alone I was that night. And, you know, many times in my life I've been around a lot of people, but sometimes you're all alone. You're in the belly of the stinking fish. Sound like a fish story? But do you know what I'm talking about? All alone. But worse than all of this was probably his own dark reflections, for his conscience would say to him, and you know when you're all alone, sometimes your conscience speaks to you. You know what they say, let your conscience be your guide? Uh-uh. Sometimes your conscience, now there's a good conscience, and there's a bad conscience, and there's a condemning conscience, and there's a redeeming conscience. But you see, the conscience needs to be taught the grace message, doesn't it? Are you in the belly of a fish while you're listening to me here? Are you on the radio? Are you in the belly of a fish while you're out there and everything, but you're still in the belly of a fish? Maybe your conscience would say to you like Jonah, whose fault is it that you're here? Yours, of course. Your pride and your self-love kept you from going to Nineveh, that great city, to deliver God's message. Oh, I thought, what a terrible feeling. What a miserable, gut-jerking feeling when a man feels he's all alone and he all alone is responsible for his own misery. Now, you listening out there? Do you feel that way? Maybe you're in a divorce. Maybe a child's death, and you feel like you're responsible. Maybe a jail sentence. Maybe losing a job. Maybe you feel it's all your fault. Well, I say this to you. If it were unavoidable that I should suffer, then okay. But if I brought this all upon myself by my own folly, then there is a double bitterness in the gall. And I don't think we need to remind people about their fall and their bounce. and their wounds. One time, I had a very legal sister downstairs. I called her Miss Skinny Lips. Tea sipper. You know what I mean? And somehow she got behind, that's when we had lines of people, and she got behind the counter and some woman come up and she had that death stare on her. And she was ragged and she was dirty and her hair was hanging down and she was smelled. And she was, I could see she was a beautiful woman, but she was all, she had the hang down look. She was in the belly of the fish look. She was walking through the line and she felt responsible for something. I knew not what it was, but Sister Legal Lips got a hold of her and said, have you straightened out your life yet since the fall? And all these people were hearing all of this. And the sister just looked at her with a stone stare. She was ready for suicide is what was happening. And so I thought, well, this has got to be stopped right here. And I said, sister, who put you behind the counter here? You don't belong here. We don't preach while we serve soup. We don't condemn people so they can't even enjoy their meal. And I would like it very, very much if you would get your out of here. Well, I said it and I was glad. I said, body, out of here. That's exactly what that woman needed to hear. And then I gave her the message of mercy and love and forgiveness. And she started to come around and she started to respond. But see, here was this Miss Legal Lips. Told ya. Prophesied this was going to happen, so on, huh? But anyway, Jonah was probably thinking, now I can't even help myself. No way. It would offer no purpose to be self-willed now. I'm down here in the belly of this fish. I can't claim my way out of here. I can't say by faith I'm not here. I can't say this is just a symptom. I can't say if I could positive think my way out of here or have some kind of probability reasoning, and there's a ministry on probabilities. I mean, I've been to 1,004 seminars on the how-tos, says Jonah. I've heard 1,801 testimonies. But how can I ever get up and give one now? I have utterly failed. How can I ever give a testimony? I never want to see anybody ever again. I'm all covered with seaweed. My state, it is helpless apart from God, hopeless. Are you feeling that way, you listening on the radio? Well, listen to it. And I think also, you listening out there, that many of you Christians are brought into such a circumstance through no fault of their own. You may be poor and needy, but have no helper, and no one cares, and so there you are, by no fault of your own. No voice to speak a word of sympathy because everybody's so busy taking care of themselves. Yes, I believe the best of men, the best of women may be brought into the worst positions by no fault of their own. None. I don't think we should ever judge any character by circumstances. Don't say this is a bad character because he's in some kind of a circumstance. Well, you know, a diamond may suffer under the hammer and the chisel. Well, then there are pebbles that bathe in the brook. I believe the most wicked are permitted to live in high places on the earth, while the poor people, while the righteous, sit at the rich man's gate with dogs as companions. And also beautiful flowers grow amongst the briar patches. Pearls lie in the mud on the ocean floor. So judge not by appearances. For many times the heirs of light walk in darkness. Well, doesn't it say in the Bible that his light shineth out of the darkness? Oh, and how fond they are of quoting scriptures. Aren't there a lot of princes that sit on dunghills? Well, look at Job. And I believe many times God accepts his men may be brought low as Jonah was. Well, didn't Jesus go into hell for 3 days? But also the hearts of God's servants may at times, their hearts sometimes faint in them. You ever felt like your heart has fainted? Do you remember the first time you had to get up in English class? Maybe you were in a debate class and you had to get up in front of maybe 600, 700, 1,000 people in an assembly hall and your heart fainted? Now let me tell you can be shaky-kneed, you can be nervous, you can be everything, but when your heart faints, brother, you're in trouble. How many heard that one? Did it ever happen to you? How many had heart faint? Huh? Now that's a feeling and a half, ain't it? How many are in this? Oh my God, hear it. But the hearts of God's servants may sometimes faint within them. Absolutely faint in them. First, by a renewed sense of sin. Oh, there's some of us that have enjoyed years of total assurance of our pardon and our justification. We have walked in the light of Jesus Christ, and I know you're listening to me out there. We have known the power of the blood. We have experienced many victories. Many times our hearts have leaped with joy. To the scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Hooray, we cried. Thank you, Lord, we shouted. And yet, now here we stand at the cross of Jesus Christ, and we look at the record of our sins nailed to the cross as a token of their full discharge. And yet, and I'm getting it on the phone all the time, and yet at this time we are suffering an interval of anxious questioning. An unbelief may be overcoming us like a dark cloud. Our heart is sinking maybe for the third time. We start to doubt the Word of God. It is possible that our faith is staggered right then and there. And so our old sins have risen up and are threatening our peace, and we start to condemn ourselves. Well, at such time, then our subconscious takes over and it will remind us of our shortcomings. And Satan works on your shortcomings and he works through your subconscious. And he may say something like this to you. So, you're a child of God. Why, your thoughts are at the gutter level and you haven't changed? No, not one bit. You've been fooling yourself. This is all a facade. There's nothing to it. How many have felt that way? And then he'll go on, all this talk about faith and love and hope. You are a bore. Where is your anointing now, brother, sister? And you might go on with something like this, your personality. What personality? You got the personality of a mugwump. Even your looks are repulsive. Okay, now here we go with the looks, see. And then he'll question you, and he'll say, well, aren't they? And then you'll agree and say, well, I guess so. I don't know. And you just totally start to fall apart. Get heart faintings. Soul fainting. Now listen, you listen on the radio, you listen on this tape, you listen in here. Don't take your eyes off of the cross when Satan stirs up your innards and your inward depths. Don't look within for marks and evidences, because you'll start to churn up all of your inward corruptions. You start to legalize on yourself, and you start to put laws on yourself, and all the old junk starts to raise up. And all these inward corruptions then that will pour into your soul like such dark memories and black forebodings, and you will cry, I am utterly lost. I am unchanged. I am unloved. I am unsaved. Where shall I turn? Where shall I go? I have been fooled. And when you ask such questions by looking inwardly for the answer instead of looking to the cross and the finished work, oh, here at Legalism, Satan will talk to you. And then he'll send someone in for the kill, and you will call it confirmation, but confirmation from what spirit? Be very careful when you're waiting for confirmation to come from somebody, because a lot of times someone will come with a confirming word that's not of God. They are sent by the wrong spirit because you've received the wrong spirit yourself. And that spirit is familiar to where you are at. And so now you'll say, that settles it. Confirmation came. I'm unsaved, unwanted, unloved, and I knew this, and God spoke to me and all that. And it has nothing to do with the Word of God. It isn't Bible, and it is the wrong spirit. And all kinds of people are calling me, but I got confirmation. But confirmation from who? Have you ever got confirmation from an enemy? You bet you have. How many are hearing this? Have you ever got confirmation from an enemy? So many times people think, well, that settles it. That's exactly what I was thinking. But what spirit were you in? Well, they will not lift up or cheer up or clear up. They will legally strip you of all hope and believing and trust. Leave you standing there naked and miserable and poor, and it's not Bible. Well, in these very times, you be very careful who you confide in. Very, very careful who you confide in. Don't tell everybody all of your business, see? How many are hearing this? Stay away from blabbermouths. Well, how many know what a blabbermouth is? You ever seen somebody that works their mouth? I mean, their mouth works. If you look at their mouth, if you could just take a picture of their mouth works. That's what you call a blabbermouth. Stay away from them. Stay away from all the evil questioners. All the immature sweetie pies. That's what is an immature sweetie pie. Ooh, that's someone that's been in the Lord for 45 days. Knows everything about God. Say amen, somebody. Or stay away from the nervous legalist who is always walking a tightrope with no balancing pole. He'll help you fall all the way into total despair. I know cases in my own ministry where people have committed suicide with a little help from their friends. Just a little help from their friends. Just a little confirming word that they were worthless and no good and idiots and boring and not of God and all of that. Why is it people forget all the beautiful scriptures? There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Why is it they forget that God is the unchangeable, loving, beautiful, wonderful Lord? Why is it that your salvation is of the Lord, not of this person that comes to you and tells you that you don't have him, that you're not saved? Why is that? See, sometimes in order to get out of being a legalist, you have to fall into trouble yourself. You have to go through something to come out of legalism. Now, if you've been to court and you've been before the judge, here come the judge, and you've been judged, and then you've been called, let's just say for the sake of saying it, behind the seat, and you put on the robe, you're going to have a little more compassion for the person that's out there. Because everything isn't black and white. Everything isn't cut and dried. How many are hearing this? But anyway, this type of person will help you fall into total, utter despair. Now, there are people out here at St. Peter, and there's people out here at Stillwater Prison out here, and they're in total despair. There's people sitting in church that are in total despair. Are you hearing this? Total despair. Living a lie and just in suffering all the time. But anyway, is it any wonder that under such pressure that the Christian soul faints in him? Remember this also, that soul fainting is a very worse form of fainting. Even though Jonah is in the fish's belly and he couldn't use his eyes, and he couldn't use his arms, and he couldn't use his legs. It mattered not if all of these would fail him, but for his soul to faint. What a horror indeed. To give up the fight. Don't you ever help someone give up the fight? Don't you ever condemn someone's soul? There are so many out there, and all these little children all over this whole land, and all over, especially in this neighborhood, I only know from whence I speak here, that are already coming up with a sort of a condemnation on themselves. And all kinds of folks to help them out along the way. But isn't this true of us? Just like Jonah? A soul faint? See, our other faculties may go to sleep, but when our faith swoons and our confidence staggers, Don't things go hard for us? Huh? Now, this is a get-up message. This is not a lay-down message. I'm just trying to help you out here. Now, I see some people inside there now already falling into a melancholy, icky old spirit. Get up. Now, I'm trying to deliver you. I'm not trying to put you down inside some kind of a hole. I'm telling you what not to fall for. But see, along the road, sometimes people fall into the melancholy pit because that's what they're used to falling into. They're used to walking 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Huh? Get out. It's either they're all the way up or they're all the way down. Now don't you fall for it. But anyway, now when this does happen to you, don't feel like a hypocrite. For most valiant soldiers of the cross know by personal experience what this dark sensation means. The same faintness I'm talking about will come over us when we see a prolonged trial just coming. We see a trial coming and all. We already fall into that trap. We already fall into the melancholy. Oh, God. You haven't even felt the cruel jab yet. And you say in your spirit, oh, no, not again, Lord. But anyway, you know it's coming when your guts start to churn. Let's say, lose your legs in the ring of controversy, like a boxer loses his legs. He hasn't got a leg to stand on. Maybe his arms are good yet and everything, but he loses his legs. He gets faint. You look over into the opponent's corner. Mr. Situation, oh, they look so big and so full of assurance. Maybe his mother is down in the audience. Kill, Sonny! Huh? Mama prophetess or somebody? I don't know. What would you call her? And finally, the bell sounds. You have already fainted in your soul and in your spirit. And you say, oh, God, here we go again. And you get yourself beat to death. Why is that? Because you've fallen for the oldest trick that Satan has. To make you feel utterly lost. House payment is coming, the devil is coming, you start to faint already before it even happens. How many know you can get defeated before it even happens? Is that right? Well, the Bible tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough evil all of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, it'll only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Might not even come. And that thing that you're fainting over might not come either. Some big old mean dude or some kind of old mean old whatever. Are you hearing? Did you ever think that something good might happen? He could die. Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Better that I go. Well, but if I'm to stay here, well, okay, then I'll stay here. I hate to, but I will, huh? Okay, come on. But if you're already fainted already, That's like today when you were driving the truck and you were out here and you were in kind of a faint condition. Remember, Wayne? Oh, I got lost! He said, and I was understanding because I've been that way. Only thing, I'm not so vocal. I got lost. I feel like quitting, but I'm not going to quit. He was talking to himself. Praise God, he talked to himself right back into the truck and then into the next store. But see, there was a soul faint coming on. And you know what? When you get into a soul faint, Wayne, there'll always be people to help you. When you get fainting in your soul. Yeah, isn't that the way of it? I know how it goes, Wayne. Maybe you better take 2 years off. Isn't that right? Maybe you better go someplace and take it easy. You know, the worst thing to do when you have a motorcycle accident, that is if you want to ride a motorcycle. I mean, that's crazy to do it anyway. But if you're crazy and you want to ride it again, the worst thing that you can do after you have an accident is sit and think about that accident instead of picking that bike up and going again with it. And that's exactly what you did. You took that experience, you got back in the truck and went again. I said, well, that's going to happen until you find your way. Isn't that right? Wasn't your soul fainting when you went out there and you had to take that test? It did, didn't it? You were yelling over that great big speaker? No, over here, get that car out of the lane four. Get over there, get out of there. Well, you could have gave up right there and not done it. Said, oh, this is too much. Now, how many people are there that give up before they go in to go get in a job? And they get inside there and their hands is all sweaty and they're all nervous. And that's okay. They should take their sweaty, nervous, smelling body in there and sit down and start writing. But they have a soul faint and they start to get weak in their, and they start to get weak in their heart and they have a fainting spell within. Oh, I can't do it. The devil says, that's right, you can't do it. You better get out of here before you puke. You're going to puke. You always do when you get nervous. Get out of here. Do you ever have that kind of fear? How many of you have that kind of fear? Sure you do. Tell the truth. Best thing you can do right then is grab a sack, puke in a sack, and then fill out the application. What else can you do? Oh, I made such a fool of myself. I puked in a bag. Be a fool. But don't faint. Are you into some kind of... how many are waiting for something to... There are so many guys... I talked to a guy years ago. He had 30-some years on the railroad, but then he was only 50-some years old. And he said, oh, I hope the railroad lasts because it's got to last another 7 years and I'll be able to retire. I'll be like 57 years old or something like that. Oh, if it doesn't last... Oh, I don't think it's going to last. Oh. And he suffered for all of that 7 years. Fainting every day that he went to work that he was going to lose his lousy job. He couldn't even sing, I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day. I've been working on the railroad just to keep the blues away. Can't you hear the whistle blow and rise up so early in the morning, huh? And why faint before you get your pink slips? Why faint before it even happens? Why wait for something that might not even happen? Why have those weak legs and those guts to churn? And so remember this, if you remember anything tonight. It's no strange thing that this is happening to you. If your soul faints because of difficulties or adversities that lie before you, but remember to have the wisdom that we see here in Jonah to remember the Lord. Well, can you say that? I will remember the Lord. Say that. I will remember the Lord. Say it again. I will remember the Lord. Okay, now you're going to come into all kinds of different kind of difficulties in your life. Maybe you won't be too popular. And you got to say to yourself, in the belly of that fish, in that situation where your knees are weak and you're ready to faint, that looking ahead to something that might not happen, what do you have to say? I will remember the Lord. Well, what do you remember about the Lord? Hasn't He delivered you thus far? How many fishes have you been in? How many situations have you been in your life that God delivered you? God, it says in the Bible, deliver me from lying lips. Have you ever been delivered from lying lips? Isn't that beautiful when you're delivered of lying from lying lips? How many have been delivered from lying lips? Did you ever have somebody lie about you? Do you ever want to yell at these people, liar, liar, pants on fire? I don't know how the rest of it goes, but something like that. Couldn't get through the kitchen door? No, that's not it. That's fatty, fatty, 2x4. But whatever. Lord, deliver me. Who is your deliverer? The Lord. Because only there does your strength lie, in the Lord. There is no other strength outside of the strength of the Lord. You ever try to go on your own strength? And you're all built up. Get built up in the faith. And you built your own faith up, your own brand of faith? No, your faith is faith in the Lord. You're built up in your faith in the Lord. You're not built up in your own. I am built up. I went to a seminar on how to do it. How long does it last till you get out of the door? And that's why people quote these scriptures back and forth to each other. Back and forth. They're trying to convince themselves. But God isn't in them. A lot of times the Lord isn't in them. Because it's just lip action. There's no action with it. That also faintness will also come upon the true Christians in connection, I believe, with the pressures of actual sorrow. A death. A Judas friend. Doesn't that make you faint? Don't you feel sick in your guts when you got a friend that Judasizes out on you? Isn't there a song like that? Hey Jude. It's short for Judas. Da 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 da. Isn't that how it goes? Right? Doesn't that make your soul faint? Oh God. Oh, I'm getting sick. Did you ever have a friend that Judasized out on you? Ooh. Maybe it's an unfaithful mate. Maybe it's a great financial loss. Maybe it's slaughter by slander. Did your soul ever faint? Preacher, you hear this? You ever walk into a room and you're, it happens all the time to preachers. and you walk in, maybe you're in a denominational church, that just, it may be a turn charismatic, and everybody for the first few years of the automatic weaponry, I call a charismatic move automatic weapons. Okay? And everybody was praising God and everything, and they were dancing. Da 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 dee 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 dee. And pretty soon they got sick of each other. It's the truth. Say amen, somebody. Oh. I mean, they sort of got sick of each other, and they got sick of their pastor out there in the suburbs. Now, I speak from actual experiences of talking to many pastors all around the country. And so the people started to get mean. The only thing now is they were a little more spiritual about it. They found verses to go with their meanness. Did you know that you can use the scriptures to your own destruction? Well, you're using them against someone else, but it's to your own destruction. You can quote all these scriptures to somebody else, but see, they're meant for you. When you read the Bible, it's for you. It's not for somebody else. Here's a good scripture for that bum. And I'll call him up, or I'll call her up, and I'll give him this scripture. And Pastor McNutt out here, I hope there's nobody with that kind of a name, but McDougal or whatever. And so, Pastor, there you are out there, and all of a sudden you walk in this room, or you walk up, and you're behind a pulpit, and you're looking out there at a bunch of strangers. Does your little heart go faint? Does it go pity-pat? And just sort of like you drop a marble in a great big bowl and it rattles around for a while? Huh? Or maybe you have a friend and you're in school or something and you walk down the hall and all of a sudden everybody turns and gets real busy in their locker. Does that make your soul faint? Huh? I'm talking about fainting inwardly. And you see people all over that are fainting inwardly. Young people. People that have been married just a little while. I'm not talking about you. You just happen to be here. And they're only married for a year and a half. Okay. Got you off there. 2 years. 3 years. Whatever. And you see them with a fainting look on their face, and you say, oh my God. Isn't that an icky feeling when you have that faint? And you start to lose it, and your hands hang down, and you start to walk differently. And your eyes are glassy and they're straight ahead. And there's words coming at your ears, but you don't hear them. It's sort of a... Huh? See, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, because I deal with people like that all day long. And at a period in my life, one time I went through that. And I'll tell you one thing, it is hell. Have you ever been in a room and people are talking, don't hear a word of what they said because you're so involved in your own faint? How many have experienced that? It's really hellish. And I think we need to remind each other of this so that when we see someone like that, that we don't give them confirmation by the way they look. I'm going to give them a confirming word. Huh? Careful with your words. Say amen, somebody. Aww. Now, I know you don't like what I'm saying, you listening on the radio. It doesn't make no never mind to me. Somebody has to say it. But are you hearing this? Preacher? I seen a young, a couple young kids. They were like 17 and 20 years old. And I said, well, is your dad still over here at this church? Oh, no, they got rid of him. They send them down to Iowa someplace. Well, preacher, if you're listening to me and you get a hold of this tape and you're down in Iowa, be glad you're down in Iowa. Da da da, in a place down in Iowa, da 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 da. Hey. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and He got you out of there, sonny boy. You're lucky. Fortunate. Blessed. Person came to me and says, oh, my heart is really, 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 I feel faint in my heart. This is the sixth pastor we've gone through in 4 years. Two of them, one tried to commit suicide and the other one made it. One went to the hospital, had a heart attack. Well, you know what happened? You did not remember the Lord. How many in here from now on are going to remember the Lord? I am. Member? Oh, yeah. See, hearts may bear up for months and months. And years and years and years and years, but under a constant dripping faucet, Chinese torture pressure, it falls into despair. A man can't always be poor. And a woman can't always be misused. And kids can't always be slapped and beat on. The man can't always be slandered and put down and rejected. Oh, no. The man can't always be friendless without sometimes being tempted to say, my heart is so weary. When will this ever, ever pass? Oh, my God, I'm tired. Have you said that, preacher? Well, what is the antidote here? Remember the Lord. Yes, the very choices of God's elect through long sorrow and heavy, heavy distress can be ready to faint from adversity. Yes. Also, it happens to the earnest Christians who are diligent in service and see no fruit. Oh, that's terrible when they're diligent and they can see no fruit. They till and they till thankless soil. They cast their bread on the water and dead fish and tin cans and old boots float up on shore and their heart becomes faint. And yet, it's a real test of your love. When you see nothing and you still trust. When you say, though that thou slay me, yet will I trust you, Lord. I think it's a very noble thing to keep right on a preaching like Noah. Noah preached his whole lifetime amid reproach, amid ridicule, unbelief. But see, not every man could do something like that. Most of us need success to endure. When will something good happen? Maybe never. Maybe you're in a ministry, preacher, where you'll never see anything good. Never see anything good happen. That doesn't mean that it is not happening. That means that maybe you'll not see it happen in your lifetime. But some of us have to continually and constantly always see something. I want results. Some must also have present victories to continue, or they lay down their armor and quit. I quit. Nothing's happening. I quit. Oh, don't do it, preacher. Don't do it. The Bible says, having done all, stand. It doesn't say, having done all, faint. I think that this very suggestion is a lie. I think a lot of times people think that no one else has ever gone through this thing. Isn't that a lie? Do you feel like you're all alone and no one has ever gone through that thing? Nothing will befall you that is yet not common to man. Common. Well, how about this one? Common. But how about this perverted thing? Common to man. Isn't that suggestion a lie? Didn't David faint? Didn't Samson and Elijah and Paul and Peter and all fainted? But what happened? They came to. They came around, straightened up and fly right, straightened up and fly right, huh? They all came too. Don't ever give way to faintness. Don't ever listen to the enemy. Don't throw away your confidence. Have you ever been tempted to throw away your confidence? Oh, don't do it. But notice the saints' last resort. Jonah, in his terrible circumstance, says that he remembered the Lord. See, Jonah, like most of us, forget God until the seaweed is around our neck and is strangling us, and we can barely say, Lord, Lord, Lord. And the seaweed's around our neck, Lord. You never called on the Lord when you were strong and you could have said, Lord! No, you got to wait till seaweeds are on. You're all slimy, your eyes are glued shut, your mouth and your nose is all full of this mattery crap.
Help.
Huh? You know what to remember? Always remember that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. But then he did something else. He remembered his power. And he said something like this, I'm in such a strait that I can't help myself, but I know that he can help me. God does not get pressured. How many know you cannot pressure God? God does not get shook. You get shook. God is the shaker. You are the shook. Anyway, when I'm ignorant, I remember the wisdom of the Lord. Oh my God, what is this? I know that God's going to guide me. I know God's going to guide you. I know that God loves you, and I know He's going to guide you. And I know the Scriptures well enough to know that you don't have to faint. Now I know that if I commit my way unto Him, my soul will take courage. God has all things under control, and all things are working together for good. Should I accept good from God and not evil? He's the author of both, you know. I got to see Him with my eyes on Him, the eyes of faith. My Father, my God, in Thee do I trust. I have never put trust in You, Lord, but you've let me down. You've never let me down. And I think you ought to question your unbelief. Well, has He let you down? No! Start to argue with yourself. And so if your soul sinks, remember the nature and character and the attributes of God. When you have remembered His nature, remember His promise. I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. Remember that one. Never. Well, when God says never, what does that mean? And in fact, in the original Greek, it says never, no, never, no, never, no, three times. Thy shoes, it says, shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. My grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Oh, that's a good promise. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. No good thing will I behold from them that walk uprightly. And so to you suffering and fainting right now. I know this will probably be like a handful of corn like given to Ruth, but take it. Talk to the Lord and say, do as thou hast said, and your spirit will be revived. Remember the covenant. How great, I thought, the covenant of God. God has entered into an agreement with his Son who represents his people. And he says, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee or rebuke thee. Praise the Lord for the word of God. And then it says in the Bible, and I'm closing, for the mountain shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. I will not remove my peace. And I think we can also say with Samuel, although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. When everything else goes wrong, cling in the power of the Holy Ghost to the covenant mercies. And your spirit, the Bible tells us, and I know it's true, shall be at peace. And when we remember the Lord, we remember all of our past victories. We remember all of our deliverances. Now, Alicia, you've been in this ministry a long time. Hasn't this ministry been through a whole lot of things, and hasn't God delivered it out of a whole lot of things? We've gone this far by faith. Should we turn back now? Should we get into the flesh now? Should we get into a flesh sweat? Oh, how he helped us through problems over and over and over and over again. And how he has never given us occasion for doubting him. He has helped us through harder times. Yes, he has. We have tested his faithfulness. We have tested his power. We have tested his goodness in heavier times than we're seeing right now. Well, they're heavier times. They were heavier times then because we weren't built up like we are now. Now we're more conditioned to it. Actually, you're seeing more horrendous things that are happening in the end. But if your ministry and your particular ministry and your ministry has been through these trials and been built up in these trials and been built up in the faith through trials and tribulation and persecutions, it isn't that they're lesser. They're probably more, but you're more apt to handle them now. You know, and you trust God. You know that God is able. You'll never know God is able until you've been in the trial and the test of it. Why is it that people distrust the Lord? 20, 30, 50, 70 years in the Lord. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed at all. It's just we've come hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. But anyway, let's look at the success of Jonah's prayer, and let's look at him now. He started to pray. And as he started to pray, and as he called upon the name of the Lord, something happened. Maybe you're in a very severe trial while I'm talking here tonight. Cry out to God. I know you are with me. And you who are not saved that are listening to this tape, this radio, and you're fainting and you've run out of hope and you feel desolate. You feel like you're falling apart and you feel like you got the heebie-jeebies and you're all sweaty and maybe you're a coke freak. Maybe you're into alcohol. Maybe you're a prostitute. Maybe you're an alcoholic. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're fainting out there. Well, rejoice. The way to the door of faith is through the gate of self-despair. cry out like Jonah with the seaweed wrapped around his neck, save me, and you know what? God will hear. Yes, many are fainting as we come close to the end, saved and unsaved. Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah, faintness is a very common thing in Christianity. See, we must believe to see and not see to believe. And so tonight I've said, under sore trouble and distress, labor to exercise a strong and lively faith. Oh, and that's when you get built up in your faith, to labor to have that kind of faith. When you're in sore trouble and distress, how do you do that? By remembering the Lord. When my soul fainteth within me, then I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into the holy temple. And all of your self-sufficiency is slain. No more soul power. Yet faints, praise God. Now remember the Lord. Maybe you got a testimony, you're listening on the radio. When I was in trouble, when I was a drunk, when I this, when I that. Well, what did you do? I remember the Lord. When I was having terrible mental difficulties, well, I remembered the Lord. When he delivered me from this or that or whatever, well, then I remembered the Lord. When my prayer was answered, well, it was answered when I remembered the Lord. My finances came in, but when did they come in? When you remembered the Lord. And as you start to pray him, that big old fish will start to surface and belly up on top of the water and deliver you right to your Nibbana. God will tell you then, you are headed towards your experience, your Nibbana experience, to tell of coming judgment and to speak of my present mercy, to tell of his son and of his salvation. That's what it's all about anyway, isn't it? Don't let your soul faint. Remember the Lord. Yeah. My last months I've had to remember the Lord. You know what? It's kept my soul from fainting. You preacher out there, you have that soul faint? Oh, God. Did your dad ever have that? He preaches. Is your dad's a minister? Did you ever have, like, his soul was fainting, and you knew something was wrong, you went home and it looked like his soul was fainting? Well, there is an antidote. You know what that is? Remember the Lord. Isn't that simple? When somebody's really giving you a hard time, you go, and they'll say, what's wrong with you? They'll say, I just remembered the Lord. Huh? It dawned on me. I remembered the Lord right in the middle of your mess here. And your, I feel so much better now. Are you quite finished? Better be careful, because I remember the Lord. Huh? Isn't that what it's all about? To remember the Lord? A lot of times when people are dying, they remember the Lord. Physical. A lot of times it takes a dying inwardly. A sort of a faint spell. And then they remember the Lord. What are you going to do next time you get into trouble? Remember the Lord. That's all you have to remember. You don't have to remember anything else. You don't have to remember 15 verses that got you out of trouble. They won't mean nothing to you the next day anyway. Did you ever read a verse of Scripture that night and it just quickened in your spirit? Woo! Get it vibrate all over you. And it did. It does. It actually does. The next day you read it again, it doesn't mean a thing to you. Did you ever have that? You go to church and say, this is what got me free. And you say, oh, that doesn't even make sense now. Why? Time marches on. See, God doesn't want you to get stuck on one piece of Scripture. Because you know why he doesn't want you to get stuck on one? You start a church on that one piece of scripture and get off. No. The whole total message is remembering the Lord. That's why you have communion. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. That's what it's all about, you know, having communion with God, remembering the Lord. You don't remember the Lord. You don't even talk to the Lord hardly anymore. He becomes distant. And that's what I wonder about works like what we're in down here. I mean, a tremendous work, a move of God. And that the mission isn't even considered a lot of times. We do things and we don't even consider the mission or the mission that God has called a body to. And we can just do hellish things and not for one time consider the sisters and the brothers that have got the stone face, that have got the dead glassy-eyed stare, that have children that are in trouble. And yet we do not even consider the Lord. We do not remember the Lord. Where were you when I was the sick and the prison and the widowed? Where were you when I was in trouble? We do not consider the Lord. We don't even consider our mission. Better start to consider it, because that's remembering the Lord. Well, we didn't know that you had any of these kind of needs. Well, I tell you, if you've done the least of mine, you've done it to me. You didn't remember them, then you didn't remember me. That's what my heart is burdened with. That there's so much sham and so much pretense going on, not just here, all over. And it's like everybody's in a perpetual Bible study. Oh, gads. You know what I mean? They're in a perpetual Bible study. Well, aren't you supposed to study the Bible? You're supposed to put the Bible to work. You're supposed to put the Word to work and consider what you're doing before you do it. How many heard this message tonight? See, I myself am very, very concerned about this mission down here. I went in, I had this accident. I went down here and I was going to this chiropractor in there. So I thought, well, I'm going to get in with this guy and I have to kind of have fun with him and so on like that. He's kind of a serious guy. He's a Baptist friend of mine now. He's just become a friend of mine. So he's cranking on my neck and getting him, and one time he cranked on it, and when his wrist snapped, I says, aha, that was not my neck, it was your wrist. Serves you right. But through this kind of, well, called silliness, if you will, I got to minister the gospel to him. And he sat for, my appointment only takes like 5 minutes. I kept him in there 15 minutes ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. I bent him so out of shape, I almost had to do a chiropractic treatment on him. You know what I mean? And his secretary, I went out and I started ministering to her, and man, she was just eating it up, and the power of the Holy Ghost was in there, was just so ever present. And I says, you know what? I am going to give you the privilege of helping me out. You are going to help me out. You are going back to your church as an elder, and I'm going to give you the privilege of helping me out with money. I didn't even shock him. So the next time, he says, did you bring that brochure with you? I says, no, but I will. I'm getting it ready. And I said, sister, you're the same way. I'm going to give you the privilege of doing the work of the Lord. And you know it's a privilege. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. I mean, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be down here. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. See, you can find all kinds of excuses to get out of it. You can find something wrong with this person. You don't like this. You don't like the vehicles. You don't like the blue. The church is blue. You never cared for blue. Oh, man, you can find a million excuses not for doing something. Isn't that right? Man, we can, and it says, they all of one accord had a made excuse. They made an excuse. You hand tailor it. You make it. It's like you sew a dress together. You make an excuse. Here's my excuse, and you hand it to somebody. Handmade, hand-stitched. Well, it won't hold nothing. Won't hold beans. There's holes in it. Did you hear this message tonight, girls? And what are you going to do? When you get into trouble and you have soul faintness, you're going to what? Remember the Lord. Right? That's all we have to do. Where are you girls from? Where are you from? What church do you come from? Living Word Church, and that's where? Brooklyn Park. Are you from Living Word?
No,
You're looking for a church? Well, you found one. I didn't say you were going to stay here, but I said you found a church. See, now don't misinterpret what I said there. You know what I mean? You actually found one. See? Now she wants you to find the living word. Well, if that's the one, well, you can go. No, I'm having fun. You know what I mean? But we all see. But find, pray about it, and find a church God wants you to be in. Right? See? And so you're shopping for a church. One time, and I'll just tell you what that can bring. One time, a whole family come in here, and they said, "Brother, we're going to try you out today." And I know this isn't you, but you're just visiting tonight. "We're going to try you out today. We've been to four other churches. Every Sunday we're going to go to church, and we have to report back to our pastor and tell him what we think of those churches out there. So you're on trial today." So I got up, and I thought about that a little while. I thought, God, I'm on trial. I says, "Folks, you see this whole family down here today? They are on trial. They are on trial. They are the Whiner family. There's Daddy Whiner, Mama Whiner, Freddie Whiner, and Sally Whiner. And they're, well, we're looking for a church, you know? And we are going to have them on trial today to see whether we want them in here or not. Now, Whiner family, when you come in here, you are going to work your feet off. We are going to put you to work. You're going to be a mission person. Do you want that?" I never seen them again. You remember that family? Sat right down over there. They never came back again. Scared them right out of here. Praise God, we didn't have to waste time with them. You know what I mean? Really. But anyway, going on here, remember the Lord. So are you born again, honey? Okay. Is there anybody in here that's not born again? In the balcony.